Okay, good evening, everyone. Thanks for joining again for our mitzvah of the week. So of course, as we discuss a particular mitzvah that we're talking about this week, so I'm thinking about it, I guess at this point, it does kind of feel like Pesach was a while ago, not so long ago, but long enough ago. And Shavuos is still a little bit far away, but still have to plan. So we're kind of like in between a little bit. And that's not necessarily a coincidence. Of course, we're in the period of Sfiras HaOmer. And that's a mitzvah that comes up in this week's Parsha. And I thought, given that it's timely and it comes up in this week's Parsha, that this was a mitzvah worth discussing and a very interesting mitzvah, a lot of different components, a lot of interesting time mitzvahs, a lot of interesting halachas. So without further ado, so we see in the 23rd chapter of Vayikra, So from the day on which you bring the sheaf of elevation offering, the day after the Sabbath, you shall count 7 weeks. Okay, so already there's when it comes to Marcharat HaShabbat, from the day after the Sabbath, so that's a big machloket as discussed in the Gemara Menachot. That's a big dispute between the Baitusim or other forms of non-Rabbinic Judaism and Rabbinic Judaism. So the rabbis understand Mimarach HaShabbat doesn't necessarily mean talking about Shabbos itself, but it's talking about Pesach, right? In context, that makes sense because right before these Tzukim, we're talking about Pesach. And then comes this mitzvah leading up to what we know as Shavuos. So it's talking about the day after the first day of Pesach. That's how we understand it. Okay, we're supposed to count 7 complete weeks. They must be complete. You must count until the day after the 7th week, 50 days. And then we're going to bring a new grain offering to Hashem. Okay, so this is the source for the way we count right now. Of course, famously in Parshas Emor, there's no identification really anywhere in the Torah. There's no identification of the 6th of Sivan being Shavuos. That's, of course, something that will be worth discussing. But why do we count? What's the significance of this count? So we can understand this from sort of the fact that the Torah identifies Sfira, and really all the Regalim have an identification with agriculture. The idea that Shavuos has to do with Matan Torah and that Sfira has to do with Matan Torah is something that comes later, comes in the more rabbinic period, but not necessarily mentioned in the Torah. So both of these interpretations are available for that. By the way, before we go any further, of course, I wasn't looking at my email right before this, but I want to make sure that we dedicate our shiur tonight in memory of Harav Meir ben Rivka ben Mordechai Halevi, Rabbi Marvin Wiener, beloved husband of our member Sylvia Wiener. We thank her for sponsoring the shiur, and his words are Li'ilui Nishmato. So what's the significance of counting? So the Abudraham connects this to the context here, or the context that we see in the Torah itself. Atam Shetziva Kadosh Baruch Hu Lispor Esa Omer, Mibnei, so this is a harvest period. This is a busy season for farmers. So everybody's busy in what they're doing. Everybody is dispersed at their own threshing floor, dealing with their harvest, with their crops. So if Pesach is time of a Mishkan and Beis HaMikdash, so if Pesach is an Aliyah Regel and Shavuos is, and they're not so far apart, so it's possible that, you know, that if we're not paying attention, it's going to come so quickly that we're not going to even recognize it. We're so busy with what's going on. I can tell you that on many occasions, I have certainly been busy with something and forgot to do something. Actually, I guess a relevant story. On a Friday afternoon, Eliana went out to get a manicure. It was around 5:05 when she left. She said at 5:10, you have to take out the chocolate chip sticks from the oven. So I'm like, okay, 5 minutes, like, you know, it'll be on my mind for 5 minutes. I can handle that. And then comes 5:30 and I'm like, whoops, did not take out the chocolate chip sticks, right? So even in a short amount of time, get busy with, and I was preparing shiur probably. So you'll be so busy with something that we can forget. Okay. So there's a very practical element here that because the time period between Pesach and Shavuos is short, and maybe it's not enough to just be keeping an eye on the calendar per se, but counting each day helps us remember, keeps it fresh in our mind that in X amount of days, we're going to have to go back to Yerushalayim. But there are some explanations that demonstrate that it's more than that, that the idea of Sfiras HaOmer, we count for things in order to generate excitement, right? When we count down to a particular event, so that shows that we're excited for something that's coming. So Rav Yaakov Meidan of Yeshivat Har Tzion explains that that the Korban HaOmer comes from barley. But for a farmer, that's animal fodder, right? It's something that animals eat. So therefore, the farmer is awaiting the opportunity to offer the wheat offering, which is going to be come in the form of the Shtei Halachim that's offered on Shavuos, right? Which allows new wheat to be used in the Beis HaMikdash, right? So the Omer allows barley to be used in the Beis HaMikdash, but we human beings, we like wheat better, right? Wheat is a nicer thing. So we're counting towards Shavuos, we're counting towards the opportunity to use new grain, which and maybe doesn't, to us, so maybe that doesn't sort of jump out. But if this is what your life centered around, right, the harvest of what and different kinds of grain, so they are very much in tune to these considerations. So the ability to offer a new kind of wheat as a korban was exciting. It was fresh. It was something that was meaningful and special. So that's one way to look at it. The Ramban famously explains that we have Chag HaMatzos that comes before the Sfira, obviously, at the beginning of Sfira. Right? Pesach is the first day of Pesach is the day before we start counting. So with Chag HaMatzos, we have 7 days. Bigdusha Lifneim Lachareim. There's 7 days of holiness, and right, the first and seventh day are holy days. Ki kulam kedoshim tocham Hashem. But really, all the days are holy because Hashem is with them. And then we count 49 days. Umana bimenu tisha ve'arba yom yom shiva shavuos kimei olam. Count seven weeks, right? So corresponding with the days of the world. The kidesh yom shmini keshmini shel chag. And then the eighth day is sanctified like the eighth day of chag. Something transcendent about that. Right? If we think, especially like if we think about on Pesach, the first seventh day are holy. When it comes to Sukkot, it's the first and the eighth day are holy. And so, really, what's going on is that Pesach is like the first day of Yom Tov. Shavuos is the last day of Yom Tov, right? Which explains why it's just 1 or 2 days. And Sfiras HaOmer is the Chol HaMoed, right? So Chol HaMoed is our days of Kedusha. We American Jews don't necessarily, we might see them more as a work day or the not Yom Tov days. And certainly days of Sfiras HaOmer, we kind of treat like normal days, but in reality, there's something holy about these days. There's elevated holiness, beyond other regular days of the year. And this is a significant time period where, again, obviously not to be entirely like a Yom Tov, but there's still something that's supposed to be spiritually fulfilling about this time. And that leads us to the last day of Yom Tov, which is Shavuos, Behu Yom Matan Torah. This is the day of the giving of the Torah where Hashem revealed himself. Okay, so this is a source that demonstrates that Sfiras HaOmer has something to do with Matan Torah. But whereas other sources will see the counting up as being as building excitement for receiving the Torah, but Ramban's understanding is that Sfiras HaOmer is not utilitarian for Matan Torah per se, but the days themselves also have great significance. Okay, right, as Senator Joseph Lieberman, I realized I didn't bring the book with me. I gave the shiur also on the eighth day of Pesach, so I realized I have a note here to reference Senator Lieberman's book, but he has a book about Shavuos, and there's 50 different essays for the days of Sfiras HaOmer, or I don't know if it's 40, probably 50, I guess there's one for Shavuos also. So he talks about, sort of related to this idea, that it seems like that Sfiras HaOmer, from Ramban's point of view, and from many, from the perspective of many Mefarshim, is that Sfiras HaOmer is about a bridge to Matan Torah. It's creating a bridge between Pesach and Shavuos. And that's not just, again, it's not just about one day being a Yantif, another being a Yantif, and there's something in between. But if Pesach is the day of our liberation, Pesach is the day of our liberation, so what are we liberated to? Ein ben chor ela misha osik b'talmud Torah. The person who is free is somebody who is involved in Torah. Right? Sometimes we think that freedom means I'm structured, I can do whatever I want, but we get lost in that. We don't really know what to do with ourselves. We don't know how to make things meaningful. So paradoxically, sort of unbridled freedom is not very satisfying for us. So Pesach wasn't a goal in itself. Yetzias Mitzrayim wasn't a goal in and of itself, but the goal is to reach Matan Torah. The goal is that we're liberated from Paro in order to serve Hashem through the Torah. So the period of Sfiras HaOmer, explains Senator Lieberman, demonstrates, right, that process, that excitement, that leading up towards that process where we get from being liberated to receiving the Torah, to receiving Hashem's law. And that's what's significant about Sfiras HaOmer from that perspective. Baruch Haim notes the counting of seven and compares it to Nida, right? That we're supposed to count 7 weeks. And what's interesting is that somebody who's, especially somebody who's a Zava, right, nowadays it applies to Nida, but a woman who is Zava Gedola, so the Torah says, V'safra la shivas yamin. Right, here it's V'atem lachem, and there it's V'safra la. So the idea of counting 7 days is to count 7 clean days from being Nida until she becomes Tahor. And the Or HaChaim connects this to Matan Torah as well, that when we were in Eretz Yitzrayim, so we were in a land of Tumah, we were a land of impurity. And the 7 weeks that we count correspond to 7 days, right? The seven sort of clean weeks from escaping the impurity of Mitzrayim until we get to the chuppah of Matan Torah. And there are definitely many rabbinic comparisons between Matan Torah and marriage, that the Matan Torah was a marriage between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this is the counting from the period of Tumah in Eretz Yisrayim to the time that we reach the Tara of receiving the Torah. That is how the Or HaChaim understands Sfiras HaOmer. Okay, so let's see what the Sefer HaChinuch says. I want to go back. I'll go back to some of the halachas that he discusses, but let's discuss the Shorshei HaMitzvah according to the Sefer HaChinuch. So the reason for Sfiras HaOmer, according to Sefer HaChinuch, outside of Pshat, Fisha kol ikaran she Yisrael ina ela Torah. The whole purpose of the Jewish people is the Torah. This is what we're about. We wouldn't be unique without it. And not only that, but me Torah nivur shemayim va'aretz. So the world was created for people to observe Torah. Right, this is obviously the reason why we were redeemed from Egypt, as we referenced before. In order that we would receive the Torah at Sinai and fulfill it. Right. So, and then there's a pasuk that says, "Zelucha ha'os kenish anochish lechticha b'tzilcha es ha'am Mitzrayim tabdun elokim al harazeh." You're going to worship Hashem on this mountain. So when Moshe was at the burning bush, so it says that he was at Horev. And Horev is another name for Har Sinai. So this is the mountain, right? Moshe Rabbeinu was already told at the time of the burning bush, right before he goes to redeem Bnei Yisrael. So he's already told that Horev is a starting point and the ending point. Now Horev is the starting point of the Geula, but the culmination of the Geula is going to be when they come back to Horev, to Har Sinai, and receive the Torah. Okay, so then he goes on to say, and this I find to be both inspiring and fascinating. He says, "Ubnekan kihi kol ikaran shel Yisrael vavura nigalu va'alu l'kol hagdula sha'alu ilaha." right? And that is the essence of Israel. And because of it, they were redeemed and went up to all of the greatness to which they rose. That we count from Pesach, the day that we were redeemed, to Shavuos, to Matan Torah, in order to show our heart's desire to receive the Torah, how much we yearn for it, the way a slave looks for shade. So Torah is our shade, so to speak. It's what gives us an extreme tranquility, but it does give us a sense of purpose and meaning. We're counting to the opportunity that we're going to have to truly be. I'm skipping a little bit. So in that which we count to the Omer, meaning such and such days have passed from the tally, but instead of counting such and such days, do we have to the time? Meaning we're not counting down from Pesach to Shavuos. It's not there's 49 days left and then 48 days left, but we're counting up from 1 to 49. It's a very interesting question. Why do we count up? He says, "Okay, lo nirtza leskir b'tchias cheshbonin ribui hayamim sheish lanu l'gil korban shtei lechem shel tzeres." We don't want to talk about how many days we have left. We don't want to talk about how many days we have left because that's going to make us a little bit sad, despondent that there's so much time left. So maybe, so again, we often count down if we're excited about something. So we don't count up because that's just going to show us the amount of time left and right, and that doesn't engender as much optimism. So we count up, to show, look how many days have passed. But then the Sefer HaChinuch asks, maybe you'll say, well, maybe in the middle we should switch. Right, once we're at, let's say, 25 days have passed. Wow, look how much we've accomplished. So maybe we can start counting down from that point in order to, to show the excitement that we only have these small number of days left. So he says that's so we don't change the way we count. We don't change the count. That's what's going on here. He says an interesting question also. So why do we count from Machar Asa Shabbos? Why do we count from Pesach itself, the first day of Pesach? He says the answer is number one, because that day is devoted to Yitzias Mitzrayim. It's a special day. That's when we see Hashem's providence. Therefore, we shouldn't mix it up with something else, right? Ima arvin simcha b'simcha, we don't mix two forms of joy. So therefore, we start from the second day. That's a more appropriate time to begin counting. Okay, and we don't say that it's these and these days from the second day of Pesach. Right? Doesn't really sound so appropriate. So that's why we count the La Omer, and the Korban of Omer is a respectable Korban. So why do we count towards you? So if Sfirsa Omer is really about counting from Pesach to Shavuos, so why don't we count according to Pesach? Right, so number one, we're not going to count according to mention that we're counting, it's 4 days since the second day. Right? That sounds a little strange. But we also specifically mentioned the Korban HaOmer because the Korban HaOmer, the fact that means we're allowed to eat Chadash at that point, reminds us of how Hashem renews each year and we receive new crops, new abundance each year. So that is the significance of the way we count. Okay, so really, really interesting ideas that we're counting up because that helps us get a sense of what we've already accomplished, not what we have left. We don't have to get down about that. And again, we don't count from Pesach itself, the first day of Pesach, because it is its own special day. Okay, so these are some of the different Ta'ameh HaMitzvos. So now I want to go back a little bit in the Chinuch. We should start discussing some of the relevant halachas. By the way, the Rambam, Mor Nevuchim, mentioned a similar idea as a Chinuch in terms of importance of the excitement of counting towards Matan Torah. Okay, so some of the halachas associated with Sfiras HaOmer. So we're supposed to count 49 days from the day that we bring the Omer, which is the 16th of Nisan. And counting this is obligatory. We should count it every single day, seven weeks, right? And we count, and Abaye says in the Gemara, we count both weeks and days, because that's what the Pasuk talks about, counting both weeks and days, these two Pasukim. So I think that's the significance of that. And then the Rambam and Sefer HaMitzvah suggests that perhaps one might say that really counting the weeks and the days are two separate mitzvahs, right? Because there's two different psukim about that. So he says you might be tricked to think that. But that doesn't really make sense, because number one, we should have to make two separate brachas if that were the case. He says, Ve'omnam hayu shtei mitzvos elu amru minyan hayamim. If we really need to count the weeks on their own, If the weeks themselves were mitzvah, then really we would just count from, when you get to the second week, you get to the third week, so then you mention the week. But this kind of demonstrates that the weeks and the days are really sort of part of the same mitzvah. And again, we don't make two different brachos on them anyway. Okay, so there's some relevant things. And then the Chinuch says that this mitzvah is in theory, midoraisa, when the Beis HaMikdash is standing. But it's derabanan, b'chol makom v'afil she'in omer karev. Okay, so even if the korban omer, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, then counting the omer was a mitzvah deraisa. But even if the Omer is not offered, it's still a mitzvah derabanan. Right? And that's the mainstream approach of most poskim. However, the Rambam writes something very interesting in Sefer in the Mishneh Torah. He writes that it's a mitzvah to count seven complete weeks, etc., etc. Mitzvah limnos hayamim shvuos, we count the days and the weeks. And then in Halacha Kaf Daled, he says mitzvah zo akol ish b'yisrael v'chol makom v'chol zman v'nashim v'avadim p'turim imenam. This is a commandment on every male Jew in every place and every time, and women and slaves are exempt from it. So, okay, so the fact that women are exempt, the Chinuch says that also, that's accepted, although we ask that women are allowed to count with the bracha. But what's interesting here is he says that this mitzvah applies in every place and every time. He doesn't distinguish between that which is obligatory. It doesn't distinguish between time of the Beis HaMikdash and not time of the Beis HaMikdash. So it doesn't say it's deraisa derabanan. So it seems like the Rambam holds that Sfira Bizman Hazeh is deraisa. So this is something that we have to understand a little bit more. So the Gemara in Menachos quotes Abaye saying that there's a mitzvah we mentioned before to count the days and the weeks. But the Rabbanan Devei Rav Ashi that's what Rabbanan Devei Rav Ashi did, but a Meimar counts the days and not the weeks, and he says Zecher l'Mikdashu. So this makes it sound like that Abaye holds that Sfiras HaOmer is D'oraisa nowadays because you count both the days and the weeks, But if you hold that Sfira HaOmer is Darabanan, because it's Zecher LeMikdash, so then you only have to count the days, you don't have to count the weeks. That's what it would sound like. And you would think that, so we hold like Abaye and Rabbanan Debir Rav Ashi, that we count the days and the weeks. And the Ran explains, so on the one hand, the Ran notes that we hold like a bayah, they count the days and the weeks. But at the same time, we hold that it's Zecher LeMikdash. It's Derabanan. So how are we to understand this, right? If counting the days and the weeks makes it sound like it's Deraisa, then why do we count the days in the week? Why don't we just count the days since it's all Zecher LeMikdash? So Vilna Gaon explains, there's a principle in Halacha called the Taka Rabbanan Ke'in Deraisa Taka. That any time there's a mitzvah that applies Derabanan, so we still do it in the way that was done by the Torah, even if it technically only applies Derabanan, right? So we don't distinguish. So we do it in the way as if it's Deraisa, even though it is not actually Deraisa. So on the one hand, Sfiras HaOmer, we generally paskin is Derabanan, but we count the days and the weeks. This has an important implication when it comes to the timing of the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer. So let's say the Shulchan Aruch says somebody makes a mistake and they made the bracha and counted Omer while it was still daytime, right? Because they thought it was cloudy. And then clouds emerged and realized it wasn't actually night yet. So you go back and count and it gets dark. And then he says, those who are meticulous in doing mitzvahs, those who are exact, wait until it's Seda Kochavim in order to count, and this is the right thing to do. So in other words, when it's broad daylight, you can't count, right? But what sounds like this from here, Mishnah Berurah says, Ritzon Olamar, Demin HaDin, Ezra L'Hakalis Bar Mishitakshah, Akkodim Tzitzak Kochavim, Devin HaShmashos, Husafik Laila. You're allowed to count during what we call Bein HaShmashos, when it's between sunset and when it gets dark. And that is because, Gazlin HaLakula, Besafik Derabana, Besfira Bisman HaZeh, Shumi Derabana, L'Rav HaPoskin. Most Poskim assume that Sfira nowadays is Derabanan, since we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. So that's why you can count Tzitzak Kochavim during Bein HaShmashos. Now, Mikol Makom, Eino Nachon L'Hachriv Asma L'Safik L'Chachila. Better not to enter a situation of doubt. So therefore, if you wait a few extra minutes to count Sfira HaOmer, so don't count between sunset and when it gets dark. Just wait till it gets dark. So those who are Midaktikim try to wait until it's exactly night. Okay, so then Be'er Halacha explains further, right, which is same author as Mishnah Berurah. So based on this, given that there's some opinion that say it's Deraisa, and Bein HaShmashos is maybe night, but it's not necessarily night, right? It's one of those existential doubts that remains to this day, that we don't really know how to define Bein HaShmashos. So we consider it better to wait to count till it's dark. Okay, but here's what happens, right? In many minyanim, particularly in America, you daven mincha ma'ariv at sunset. You daven mincha a little bit before sunset. You daven ma'ariv after sunset. What might take place is that Sfiras HaOmer is taking place after sunset, but it's not technically dark yet. Shulchan Aruch and Mishnah Berurah explain that technically speaking, that's fine. So what do we do in that situation? So Shulchan Aruch says that one who davens with the tzibur while it's still daytime, meaning it's after sunset, mona yimahim below bracha. So you count, but without a bracha. And therefore, if you remember, you should count at night again with a bracha. Um, Right, so in the Ramah explains, "Vapil ana amen al birkas akal im hayadato shelo letzed yachzor vivarek liyisbar b'layla." So what we do, and this is especially has been true on Friday night the last couple of weeks. So we've counted after those who daven at the 7 o'clock minyan. So we count when it's still when it's after shkia. We wait. It's still after shkia when we count, but it's not dark yet. So what I tell people is, I'm going to count with the bracha. I count with the bracha, but everybody else doesn't count the bracha. You just say amen to my bracha. And then you count on the condition that if you remember later, you're going to go back and count with a bracha, and that would be acceptable. And that's sort of the best case scenario to do. The Mishnah Berurah says that that given that we hold that that Sfira is Darabanan during these times, so since Bina Shmasho is Suffolk Laila, so since it's Darabanan, so it's good enough to technically be Yotzei Sfira. But somebody who wants to be medactic and wants to count can do in this way, right? They count on condition without a bracha, on condition that they count later again with a bracha. So why would somebody count at all then? Why not just wait till next night? So I might forget
later,
right? So now I'm at shul. So at shul, we set everything up, and of course, you know, it's part of Maariv, so we count. So that way, I know I remember. If I rely on counting later, maybe I'm going to forget. So that's why there's a suggestion that if you daven in shul after it's if you daven in shul after it's shkia, but it's not technically dark, so if possible, best to count without a bracha, and have in mind that you'll count again later with a bracha if you remember. Right, and this is based on Tosfos that says the whole basis for this is a Tosfos that says that that if it's perhaps night, right, it's safek hashecha, meaning spinach mashos, so you're allowed to make a bracha, and you don't have to wait until it's night in order to count sfira because it's darabanan. So technically speaking, right, if I just to, I guess give the upshot of all of this, if I counted Sfira Omer with a bracha after sunset, I've technically done my job. That's enough. That counts as a mitzvah. However, the Shulchan Aruch talks about being medaktik, being extra careful to count with a to wait until Tzeisa Kol Chavim to count. So therefore, if one davens in shul, so you count without a bracha at shul, and then try to count again with a bracha when you get home, right? Having had in mind before that you would do this. What we have been following here, especially this year, so there are actually different ways of defining when Tzeisa Kol Chavim is. So for Shabbos, so we use a particularly stringent way of count of determining Tzeisa Kol Chavim, A, because we have Tosefes Shabbos and also Mitzvah D'Oraisa, and ones that involves Lotasa, so we don't do Melacha too early. So for Shabbos, we wait till it's you know really actually you know pitch black and the like. But with other mitzvos, so there are different ways of determining when Tzeisa Kol Chavim is. Some say that it's acceptable to rely on the Tzeisa Kol Chavim of Rabbi Chiya Michal Tekachinsky, which is around 20 minutes after Shkia. So technically speaking, one can count Sfira Sa Omer 20 minutes after Shkia. When it comes to Shema, I'm stringent to you know, if I were davening alone, I would wait till it would be somewhere between 30 and 35 minutes to say Shema, right, which is still earlier than the time that I would end Shabbos. But for Shema, I have a time that's a little bit in between. So in theory, if I were davening alone, so I'd wait a little bit later to daven Maariv and then count Sfira. But certainly, according to all opinions, you know, if you want to be a medactic, so to speak. So if you count Omer 20 minutes after Shkia, that's technically fine. Okay, now, of course, interesting thing that everybody gets caught up with Sfira Omer is what happens if I forget to count one, right? We talk about being in, out. So one thing that we should just say from the outset is that we hold that there's no such thing as being out. Any night that you count is good. However, this whole thing about getting out, so to speak, comes from the Baal Halachos Gedolos, which is brought by Tosfos, which says that she'im yifsik yom echad v'lo safar, shuv eino sofer. If you didn't count one night, you don't count again. Divide it to people. To have seven complete, you need to have seven complete weeks. You need to have seven complete weeks. So if you miss one night, so then you didn't have seven complete weeks. So it sounds like you can't count again, says the Baal Halachos Kedavos. But also says Tema Gedola Hu Velo Yitachin. That is a very shocking approach, and that's not possible. Right? And the Rush quotes the Ri saying that the whole Laila V'Laila Mitzvah Bifnei Atzmahi. Each night is its own mitzvah, right? Because each night Tisperuch Hamishim Yom means that each night that I count is a mitzvah. Every day that I count, I'm fulfilling a mitzvah, right? Reason why perhaps we make a bracha every single night. Okay, so there's this machlokus between Baal HaTosfos and the Bahag. Baal HaTosfos was saying that that every night is its own mitzvah. Bahag saying that if you miss one night, you miss the whole thing. So the Shulchan Aruch comes out with an interesting compromise position that im shachach levarach be'echad mehayamim, somebody forgot to count one day, whether it's the first day or any of the other days, you count the rest of the days without a bracha. So that's sort of a compromise position. On the one hand, you're not completely out. You should still count every single day. It's still valuable. But at the same time, maybe we don't do it with a bracha, right? And the Mishnah Berurah explains that's in order to it's ordered to satisfy the opinion of the Bahag that you require seven complete weeks. And what you should do in that situation, ideally, is to hear the bracha from somebody else. So at least you can have a main and be yotze with their bracha. That would be the best thing to do. The Shevet HaLevi, Rav Vosner, Zatzal, who was one of the leading postgame in Eretz Yisrael, passed away 60 years ago, I think. So he was asked an interesting question. If a rabbi community forgets to count Sfiras HaOmer one night, right? He didn't daven with the minion, and things got busy, and he just forgot. He forgot to count. So what should he do? Because often the rabbi is the one who counts right in front of the whole tzibur, right? We don't have everybody count at the same time, but first the rabbi counts, and you hear from the rabbi what day it is, and then everybody counts after that. But the rabbi gets up there and can't count with a bracha. So it's a little bit embarrassing, and there's a concern of Kavod HaTorah, Vizayon, right? That there's concern that it diminishes the honor of the Torah, right? That maybe people think that the rabbi isn't so invested in Zavodas Hashem, that the rabbi is fallible. Maybe that somehow that affects the honor of the Torah that the rabbi had forgotten. So what do you do in that situation? So he says, So he says, perhaps in that case, the rabbi should rely on the fact that each day really is its own mitzvah, and therefore he should still count with a bracha. And the consideration here again is that it's Kavod HaTorah, Kavod HaTzibur, so ideally we would paskin like the Shulchan Aruch, who says that we want to satisfy the opinion of the Bahag, but that's a minority opinion. And in a situation, a pressing situation where the Kavod HaTorah is at stake, so maybe the rabbi should count with a bracha, even if he forgot. And that way, nobody is going to cast aspersions on the rabbi and the fact that he wasn't so careful in doing the mitzvah, and people won't think that he's any less of a spiritual role model. However, different perspective provided by Rav Yehuda Amital is that the rabbi is a human being. And it's actually very important for rabbis to model being fallible, for being human. And it can happen. Right? A rabbi might legitimately forget. But the response to that is not to cover it up, but people should know that rabbis can make mistakes. And maybe it's worth the rabbi getting up there and saying, I forgot, and I'm human, and I regret this, but just like any of you, I'm also a human being, I'm fallible, and I forgot to count the Omer. So Rav Amital's consideration is not the strict halakha per se, that you can't compromise on what the Shulchan Aruch says, but he says that from an educational perspective, it's actually not a bad idea for the rabbi to get up there and to admit his mistake. Okay. We're going to skip a little bit just in the interest of time, but the question comes up, what happens if you forget to count that night? Can you count during the day? So this is actually where Tosfos is a little bit stricter than the Bahag. The Bahag says if you forgot to count at night, you can still count during the day because it's still the whole day. But Tosfos says Tmimos means that you have to count at night in order for it to be complete. It has to be, you know, each night. So we paskin that if somebody forgot to count at night, they can still count during the day without a bracha, and then they can pick up again the next night with a bracha. I'll end by quoting Rav Soloveitchik, quotes around, and the round, I didn't read the round the same way that he did, but still, I think the idea itself stands. It's very interesting. So he says, why do we, so like we wrap with the Sefer HaChinuch, why do we count up during Sefirot HaOmer? Why do we count up during Sefirot HaOmer? So Sefer HaChinuch says that that if we count down, so it's there's too much time left, and it doesn't generate the excitement. We might be a little bit down. We might drag our feet a little bit, right? So it's a glass being, you know, half empty instead of being half full, so to speak, right? So Rav Soloveitchik says the reason why we count up for Sefirot HaOmer is that so in general, counting Sefirot HaOmer is commemorating that Bnei Israel left Egypt in order to get Har Sinai. Me'el Eishel Amar, Da'af Shekfar Shamu Moshe Rabbeinu, she's Kaim Atan Tor Bahar Sinai. Even though Hashem had told Moshe Rabbeinu they're gonna receive the Torah at Har Sinai, Lo Yadu Matai Yis Kaim Adavar Zeh. They didn't know when this would happen. They don't know when this would happen. Hashem didn't tell them it was going to be 50 days from now. So all they were able to do was just to start counting 1, 2, 3, 4 until they got to the day that they got the Torah at Har Sinai, right? So therefore they had to count up because they just didn't know. They didn't know how many days were going to be left, which is an interesting perspective. It actually makes a lot of sense, right? Hashem might not have told them. They might have known they were seeing the Torah, but they didn't necessarily know when, right? Which I think, I said this last year, but I think it's been sort of meaningful for COVID because we sort of know when all of this started. And we were able to sort of mark the time that has gone by, but there has not necessarily been an end in sight. Even nowadays, right, we don't necessarily know when exactly everything's going to end. Baruch Hashem, right, recent CDC guidelines have said you no longer have to wear masks outside if you're not around too many other people, vaccines, the whole thing. So we're in a better place, but I think that actually connects very well to sort of that experience that we sort of know what's passed by. We don't necessarily know what's going to come, but hopefully, you know, especially as things start to get better. So the excitement to return to normal should still inspire us, and Rish Hashem will have more in-person learning. Last year, Shavuos was like the very, very end of the lockdown. This year, not quite back to normal. Rish Hashem, next Shavuos will be much more normal Shavuos. But Shavuos is coming in a couple of weeks, and should be excited to have another Yontif, an opportunity to re-engage with Torah, and that is ultimately one of the goals of counting Sefirot HaOmer during this time. Have a good night, everyone.